Scripture reading this morning is in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work.
Appreciate Andrew reading our scripture for us this morning. Good to see y'all here today. I want to remind everybody we are having singing night tonight, so come join us for that at 5. And we're also, it's going to be a wedding here today at noon for Laura and David, and you're all invited to that. They asked me to make sure everybody was aware. We'll have a little reception after that. As I was thinking about our lesson this morning, I thought of a little story from my life, as I so often do when I'm trying to think about how to explain things in the Bible. I think about my own experiences, and I thought about one particular experience. I was 13 years old, and believe it or not, I was a little bit grumpy as a teenager, a little angry, a little sarcastic at times, but I just remember the feeling of indignant, like just confusion, embarrassment. You ever marveled that somebody did not know something that you know? And you think, how can a person make it through life and not know this thing? Well, I was 13 years old, and I was driving down the road. A friend of mine's sister was taking me to go hang out with a friend of mine. It was an hour trip. It was down the highway, and we're going down the road. She's 18, I'm 13, and flat tire. The tire goes flat about halfway in between. We're away from all the people that might normally come get us from family, so it'd take them a few minutes to get there. So we're pulled off on the side of the road, and she looks at it. She goes, well, I guess we'll just wait till I get here. And I look at her, and I go, are you kidding? You know how to change a tire? I'm 13 years old. I know how to change a tire. And I get up, and I'm opening the back of her car, and I'm looking at the tools, and I'm like, what is this? You got a diamond jack? Who uses a diamond jack? Get the hydraulic jack with the wheels. This is garbage. But I guess I'll use it, and I pull it out, and I put it under there, and I'm like, what is this tire tool? It's just the one-sided one. You need the four-way tire tool. Everyone knows that, because then you can spin it while you're doing it, and it's nice and easy. And with this one, you got to turn it, and it hits the ground. It's frustrating. I hate the single-headed tire tool. Don't ever use those. But I'm sitting there, and I do it, and 13 years old, I'm just telling this girl, who's 5 years older than me, how to change a tire, and how I can't believe she doesn't know how to change a tire. I'm just indignant. Confused. How could anyone ever get to be this age and not know this? And then I become an adult, and I own a house for the first time. I've been in this house for 2 years to this month, almost pretty close to today. But been in our house for about 2 years now, and I'm always struck by remembering my smarmy arrogance at 13 of how could anyone not know this thing that I know. As I live in a house, and anytime there's a problem, I'm like, I don't know what to do about this. I did not grow up in a house. There was no instruction manual that came with this. Why is my AC not working? I guess I'll call someone. Yeah, that happened to me this year. I called a person. They're like, yeah, you just need it serviced. That's a normal thing. That happens. I'm like, what? That happens? Okay, cool. Yeah, I knew that. Sure. You know, it's some problems pop up, and I'm like, wait. What do I do about this? I've never dealt with this before. And some, you know, I get lucky. I'm like, hey, this is a pipe. I can replace a pipe. But I think back on my own experiences, and as a child, I had a lot of opportunities to learn some of this stuff. Some of it I didn't. We all kind of have different opportunities. And I think back on times when I could have learned a little more about working on a house. Maybe my grandpa tried to show me how to take care of things. And I had the opportunity to learn, but I didn't really try to learn. Wasn't really listening very well. And I think we just come to a place where when it comes to learning things, to knowing things, no person can know something without having a teacher and without being a student. Now, you might disagree with me on that, but I want to encourage you to realize sometimes a teacher is experience. And sometimes, even in an experience, we just choose not to be a student and not to learn, and we just go through that experience over and over again until either we give up or something changes. But nobody just knows anything starting out. We all need a little help to understand things. We're all going to encounter things we don't understand. And I think this is important to realize as we go into what's going on in John chapter 6. We've been going through the sixth chapter of John, where Jesus is teaching about being the bread of life. He's in the synagogue in Capernaum right now, and he's come to give life. But the people come to Jesus for the wrong reasons. They come to Jesus to have their bellies filled. They've come to Jesus for what he's going to do for them, not because of who he is as God in the flesh. And they're so consumed in their physical desires that they can't see their spiritual needs. They don't recognize their spiritual hunger, and they're blind to the offer Jesus is making. And in verse 40 of John 6, Jesus makes a tremendous statement and an amazing offer. He says, "Everyone who looks on the Son of God and believes in him will have eternal life, and he will raise them up on the last day. Whoever will come to Jesus will never be cast out, will not be lost, and will be raised on the last day." Jesus is trying to teach them. They don't understand this, but he's trying to teach them this thing because he knows they need to know it. Now let's look at their response to Jesus' statement. In verses 40, we'll start with verse 41 through 42 of John 6. It says, starting in verse 41, "So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'? Jesus, what are you talking about?" These Jewish people have a problem with what Jesus is telling them. Jesus calls himself this bread that comes down from heaven, and they say, "Man, we know your dad. We know that you're the son of Joseph. How can you say you've come down from heaven?" And one can pretty quickly see, like, they haven't even caught, like, Jesus' origin. They don't believe this story about Jesus' parents, about where he came from, which should have been common knowledge in an area right around where he grew up, which is where Capernaum is. If they knew Jesus, they should know some about his childhood, about his birth. But they don't. They don't believe this. They don't know this. And so they call Jesus the son of Joseph. They say they know his parents. And they ask him, "How could you be from heaven?" They are continuing in their unbelief, even though, think back to what this group of people has already seen. They say to Jesus, "How could you be from heaven?" And I'm surprised Jesus doesn't turn around and go, "Well, how did I feed all 5,000 of you with a couple loaves and some fish? What do you mean, how did I gotta be from heaven? You've literally already seen the evidence of this. It was you guys, you same group of people. What are you talking about?" Jesus has clearly proven that he's from heaven by the miracles he's performed before their eyes. But that's not their concern. They don't really care about whether Jesus is from heaven or not. They are looking to get more of this food, to get more of this thing he can provide them. So Jesus responds in verses 43 through 44. He says, Jesus answered them, "Don't grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus tells them, look, stop this grumbling. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And this declaration is fairly similar to a statement we studied earlier in verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." Jesus points us out again to them and that no one comes to the Father unless the Father draws that person. And so today, I wanted to talk a little bit about this statement. What does that mean, that the Father draws that person or calls that person? This is an important doctrinal statement. Denominations are built and have split over this declaration. This has been a controversial thing in Christian history. And so I think when we come to things like this, we can't just ignore them. We probably need to understand them, or they might cause us some struggles with our own faith. Too many times we come across teachings that are difficult or a little different than we understand things, and we kind of dismiss them or try to ignore that they exist. Jesus is making an important point, and I think it's important that we recognize that. No one comes to Christ on their own. The Father must call you, and the Father must draw you. No one wakes up one day and said they were going to come to Jesus of their own power. Now, let me explain that statement before you run off with it. Let's talk about that. Listen carefully to Jesus' words in verse 44. No one comes to the Father, or comes to Jesus, unless the Father draws him. Now, Jesus is not the only one that says something like this. I'm going to give you a few quick verses. You don't have to go to these places. I'll just read them to you. But in Acts 2, a passage we think of a lot, verses 38 through 39, it says, "Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" But what does verse 39 say? For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And notice that Peter said, who comes and finds this forgiveness of sins, this gift of the Holy Spirit? It's the people that God calls. There's three references I got from Paul. He talks about this as well in Galatians 1:6. He says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he says to the church of God that's in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, together with all those in every place that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians, he says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Peter uses this language. He says in chapter 1, verse 15 of 1 Peter, he who called you is holy. You also be holy in your conduct. And even Jude, as a last reference, says this in verse 1. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. We can look at a lot of texts that make this point. This is a common way to talk in the New Testament. You have been called if you are a Christian. Jesus said that you can't come to him unless the Father draws you. And I want to argue that this language of being drawn that we see in John is the same idea that Scripture speaks of when it talks about being called. It's essentially the same idea. So the question is not whether or not we are called by God. Scripture clearly states that this is something that happens. The question is, what does that mean? How does a person get called by God? How does God draw people to him? That's the thing we gotta answer. And I think that the rest of Jesus' statement here really kind of answers that for us in verses 44 through 47. So we'll read verses 44 through 47 of John chapter 6. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. It's written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he who has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. So how am I drawn to the Father? How does the Father call me? Verse 45 explains this. We can't stop in verse 44 and kind of build our theology, which is what people sometimes do and why I think this verse becomes controversial. This whole chapter has got to be kind of considered together because it's one conversation with the Jews who saw the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus quotes the prophets, particularly Isaiah 54, verse 13, and Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34, as his proof here concerning that what he said about no one coming to him unless the Father draws them. The prophets declared they will all be taught by God. And being taught by God the Father is how we are called or drawn. Jesus explains this even further, like I said, in verse 45. Everyone who's heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So let's kind of put these sentences side by side. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And verse 45, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So no one comes unless the Father draws him, and those who have heard from and learned from the Father come to him. Therefore, being taught by God is how the Father draws us to Christ. Hearing and learning from the Father is how we get to Jesus. This is what the rest of the Scriptures teach. I mean, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 says, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you. How did he call them? Through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't just come to Jesus. The Father must draw you to him. And he draws you to Jesus through the Word of God. Listen again to what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. How do we get our faith? Does our faith just come to us on its own? No. You come to faith by hearing the Word of Christ. This is what Jesus is telling these people. Without the gospel, without the Scriptures, you can't be Christians. We wouldn't have any way to hear God's call. So what's really interesting is what Jesus tells these Jews. The reason they do not come to him is because the Father hasn't drawn them. Let's go back to my earlier illustration here. Remember me getting angry at this lady because she don't know how to change a tire? Why does she not know how to change a tire at 18 years old? Because no one has ever sat her down and tried to teach her how to change a tire. Just like me, living in my house, nobody ever sat me down. They were like, John, look, here's like the 15 biggest problems you're going to encounter owning a house and all the things you need to be aware of. Nobody taught me that. I'm learning. My teacher is experience at the moment. And so if we want to come to God, the first thing we're going to need is we're going to need somebody to teach us about him. We need the word to get the idea. Now, there's a problem. And this is the problem that the people Jesus is talking to right now are encountering. Remember what I said about learning? To learn anything, you need a teacher. That's important. Got to have a teacher. But you also can't learn, even if you got the best teacher in the world, if you don't have a student. If you as a person aren't hearing anything your teacher is saying, if you aren't listening, then you can't be taught. And this is the problem that these people Jesus is talking to right here are having. They don't come to Jesus because God has not drawn them to him. Jesus is not declaring some kind of predestination here. He can't condemn them for their unbelief and tell them it's not their fault because God didn't personally draw them. He's telling them that the reason they don't believe Jesus is the bread of life is because they've not been taught of God. That, to say it another way, they don't know the scriptures. And that's why they don't listen to Jesus, because the scriptures, if they were listening to them, if they were being students of them, they would understand who he was. If they knew the scriptures, they would come to him as their bread of life. Jesus made the point earlier in John 5, verses 46 through 47. If you believed Moses, if you actually believed Moses, if you heard him and listened, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. But if you don't believe his writings, how are you going to believe my words? Faith doesn't come any other way. You don't get eternal life by looking at nature. You don't get it by meditating in silence. You don't come to eternal life by coming up with your own plans from your own heart. The only way to get to Christ is through the Word of God. It's through the Father drawing you in by teaching you and you listening. If you never hear the scriptures, if you never listen to them, you'll never be able to get to him. There is no other way. God decided that he would do this drawing through the scriptures. And it's exactly what Jeremiah prophesied concerning the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they broke. I was their husband, declares the Lord, but they broke my covenant. For this covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I'll put my law within them, and I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From least to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." What does it mean that God himself will put his law within them and write it on their hearts? It means you'll be taught by God. You'll hear and learn from the Father. What does the writer of Hebrews mean when he says the word of God is living and active? He means that it can teach you. It's the word of God, and it can be written on your hearts if you'll spend time with it. That is God drawing you in. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, concerning brotherly love, you've got no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God how to love one another. How did the Thessalonians get taught? It wasn't because God directly spoke to each one of them and told them to love each other. It was because Paul preached them the word of God. And I think as we think about this, I want you to think about this idea. Would the Thessalonians have been doing this if they had not been taught by God? Would they have been loving each other as God wanted if they never learned how to do that from him? No. We need God to teach us. We need what he's got to say. Do we see what Jesus is trying to teach his audience? They're not near God. They think they are, but they haven't been listening. Every person, like these people he's talking to right now, every person has walked away from God. Every person has made that mistake. And those of us that are Christians today, God's drawn us back to him. Because left to our own devices, without his help, without his teaching, we're just going to continue to walk in the wrong direction. Of my own nature, I'm never going to do what's right. Jesus said that no one's good except God. We're lost, we're blind, and we need to be drawn to the shepherd. And God is calling people and drawing them to Christ through the word. Without God's word, no one would be saved. But with God's word, no one is without the opportunity to come to eternal life if they want it. I like what 1 Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. And grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This word is the good news that was preached to you. How were you born again? How did you experience that new life and new birth? Peter says that it's through the word of God. This word, which is the gospel that was preached to them and so they could be born again, that he talks about in verse 25. So let's kind of bring it all back. Jesus is saying to these Jewish people in verse 44 not to grumble, because the problem is that they don't know the scripture. They haven't been taught by God, so they're not near God. They're not in a relationship with God. We've got a lot of people who think they have access to God, just like these people did, that don't. Because we're nowhere near God if we haven't listened to him. No one comes to Jesus unless they hear God through the word, unless they've been called, unless they've been drawn. Were the Jews ignorant of scriptures? I don't think that's the case. They would have known it. They would have heard it. They could quote the Torah. They knew the law of God. While they were worshiping God, they were offering their sacrifices, they were reciting the law in the synagogue, and yet, still, so many people around Jesus did not listen. They might have had the teacher, but they weren't the student. Despite hearing it, they were not taught of God. And I think so many times it's easy for us to be just like that. We might hear the Bible every Sunday, but sometimes it's pretty hard to let it sink in, to say, oh, the Bible's talking about me today, not about my neighbor, the person I don't like. This one's right at me and my problems that I'm trying to ignore. So I want to ask you this morning, do you feel like you're listening to God? If the Father's not drawing us to Christ, then we're wandering away. Will you listen to God drawing him closer to you through his word? Will you think of Jesus as your primary pursuit, as that bread of life, as the one that has what you need? Will he be your priority? Or will you remain and resist listening to those hard things that scripture tells us sometimes? Sometimes even when we are Christians, we still resist. We still fight against the word. We struggle and fail. I want to encourage you today that if today you feel like you've just kind of struggled to hear what God has to say, you've fallen by the wayside, you've actively ignored maybe what you know God said because you really don't like it, make a change. Make today the day that you hear. And maybe you're not a Christian, you want to become one, well, that's okay. You've heard the word of God today, and if you want to listen to it, we can help you to become one. I don't know what your struggle is this morning, but if there's anything we can do for you today, please come as we stand and as we sing.
Nothing can nothing but the blood of Jesus, not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No
using your songbook, turn with me to number 716, 716. We'll sing this one and be dismissed in prayer.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the tolls that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing. So showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearling gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall, sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of.